The word of the Lord, which we set our hearts to this morning, this afternoon, evening, is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 17. We'll read verses 34 through 37. These are the words and the account of David speaking with Saul before he goes and faces, in a battle, the giant Goliath. So we read, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine.' Saul said to David, 'Go, and the Lord be with you.'" This is the word of the Lord. This Easter season, we've been looking at the theme of how Easter has lasting effects, even today. And we're looking at maybe a familiar passage from 1 Samuel, where David, he goes out to battle against this giant named Goliath. And as we dive into this text, I think there's something that we really can take away here when it comes to courage. It absolutely took courage for David to face this giant who was a warrior. Right now, we're probably at a time where we need courage as well as we face uncertain times. And so as we take a look at these words, we're going to consider what real courage really looks like. And there's two points we're going to consider. First off, courage is not something that other people can determine for you. And then secondly, courage takes an object. Now, what do those two things mean? Well, let's just dig in and we'll see what God's word has to say. First off, courage isn't something that other people can determine for you. Now, our text here in 1 Samuel is kind of in the middle of a larger narrative. So let me set the scene for you just for a moment. The Israelites were in the middle of a battle and a war against the Philistines, their neighbors to the south and the east of them, or the west, I'm sorry. And David was not a member of the army. A few of his brothers were, and so that's why David came there. It's because his father sent him on a journey to provide his brothers with some provisions. And when he arrived, he heard the hero of the Philistines, this man named Goliath, standing up every day and mocking the Israelites and mocking the Lord, their God. David got there and he heard that and he couldn't stand it. Couldn't stand the hero of war, the Philistine hero of war, making those kinds of comments about his God. Now, let me just address the topic of a hero of war just for a moment. When you and I hear the word hero of war, that term, we maybe think of a common or a present-day hero of war. So someone who maybe goes off to war and does something very heroic, maybe dies or maybe gets injured or really just does something amazing and comes home. We would use that term for someone who's a hero of war. But a hero of war in ancient times was far different. A hero of war in ancient times was actually a representative for an entire army. That's what Goliath was. He was representing his entire army. And the hero of war was always chosen as being the one who was the strongest and the mightiest and the biggest and the best warrior and the most experienced. Someone who wouldn't lose. That's what Goliath was. He would go out and he would face the best Israelite person. And whoever would win in this one versus one match, mano y mano, would really win the victory for the entire army. The other army, the losing army, would lay down their arms. Goliath, we're told, he was the hero of the Philistines. And we're told more about him. We're told that he stood over 9 feet tall. We're told that his armor alone weighed about 125 pounds. The tip of his spear weighed 15 pounds. So Goliath, he was basically unbeatable. He was enormous. He was truly a man amongst boys. Enter David, a shepherd boy. When you compare him to Goliath, he didn't have any kind of armor. In fact, he refused to put on armor because it just wasn't comfortable. Goliath was fighting with the best technology. David was going out with a shepherd's staff and a sling. Goliath, he was an experienced warrior. David was a shepherd. When you think about it, Goliath would have probably won this battle 99 times out of 100. But when you also think about it, that means that Goliath really didn't need any courage to face David. You see, he probably wasn't afraid one bit of facing this little shepherd boy. And so, when you think about it, courage is something that other people can't dictate to you. It has to be, courage is determined by what you're afraid of. Let me give you an example of what I mean. I think I've mentioned this before, but when I was in school, I roofed for several years. That meant I went up on hundreds, if not thousands, of roofs. I stood on the edge of them at their very peak, sometimes 30, 40 feet in the air. Now, someone who's never been up there might look up and they see a roofer on the edge of a roof, 40 feet in the air, and they might think, wow, that takes real courage to be that high up there. But the truth is, I've done it so many times that that's not something that really scares me anymore. So it doesn't take any courage for me to go up and do something that really isn't frightening for me. It wouldn't have taken Goliath any courage to go and face this little shepherd boy, David. Courage is not something that other people can determine for you. It has to be something that you're frightened of. And right now, friends, when you think about it, there is a lot to be frightened about. When you look at the world in which we are living right now, maybe you're frightened. Frightened and afraid of where your paycheck is going to come from in the next, couple months, or maybe even weeks or even days. Maybe you're frightened about getting sick. Maybe even dying. Or maybe you're frightened for your family members who might have gotten sick, who might get sick. There's a lot to be frightened of in these days. David had every reason to be afraid as he went out and fought a giant of a man who was the hero of the Philistine army. But he still went out there anyway. He had courage. What gave David courage in the face of fighting this enormous, enormous giant? Well, let's consider that, and let's consider then how we can find courage as well. Courage is something that takes an object. It looks to the future, and it finds hope in something. Hope is what gives us courage. And look at the reasons. Let's just look at the reasons why David could have hope in the face of something that was terrifying. Now, just to note again in our text, David is speaking to King Saul, the king of the Israelite army, and he is telling him why he should be allowed to go, and this shepherd boy should be allowed to go and face this enormous warrior and hero of war in Goliath. And here's what it says, our text says. It says, David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair and struck it and killed it. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." There's a couple of things worth noting here. First off, notice that David doesn't say that he wasn't afraid. Right? It doesn't say that David wasn't afraid or scared of going off and facing this bear and this lion. And the second thing to note is that David didn't have to go and do this. He didn't have to go off and find that sheep that was captured by the lion or the bear. He did not have to do that. There was a law back then that said, it was a rabbinical law, so it was a law for all people in the Israelite people, that a hired hand would not have to and was not required to go after a lion or a bear or anything that was dangerous in order to get a sheep back. That was not required of them. But David did so willingly. And the same thing as he went and faced Goliath. He did so willingly. What is it that gave him courage? Well, again, notice what our text says. David says, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." David had courage because he put his hope in something. And even after he went out and he destroyed and killed a lion and a bear with basically his hands, note that David doesn't put his hope in himself. Even after he did something unbelievable like that, he doesn't say, "I'll be fine because of what I did." No, he says, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, the Lord, he is going to deliver me from this Philistine." David, no matter what he did, still put his hope in the Lord. Where are you putting your hope at this time? Where are you finding your courage? Maybe right now you are at a loss of hope. Maybe you don't have any courage right now. Or maybe you're a little bit like Goliath. Putting your hope and finding your courage in yourself and in everything that you have done. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, "You know what? I'm retired. I have saved up a pretty good nest egg for myself. So I have nothing to fear when it comes to the current climate in our economy and what's going on with this virus." Maybe you're thinking to yourself, "You know, I've got a pretty stable job. I'm pretty well tenured, and I'm in a position and in a business that really is doing quite well right now." Friends, where are you putting your hope? If you're doing that, if you're putting your hope in the things that you've accomplished in your job and in all of your accomplishments, then you're doing exactly what Goliath was doing as well. And if there's anything that we can learn from Goliath, it's that if you see that the Lord is not on your side, it doesn't matter what kind of strength you have or what you've accomplished. It doesn't matter what you put your hope in if the Lord is not on your side. Have you been putting your hope and your courage in the wrong area? Or have you just lost all hope? You know, David is a wonderful example for us in this text, isn't it? But you and I, we need more than an example. At times like this, and always, we need a substitute. And that's exactly why God sent Jesus into this world. He came not to be an example for you, but to be a substitute for you. You ever notice that Jesus, the very Son of God, he needed courage? It's interesting. Christianity is the only religion that teaches that God needed courage. As Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he was put to death, we're told that he was overwhelmed. He was overwhelmed by the things that he was going to face, and so he prayed because he needed courage to face what he was going to face. The Son of God needed courage for that, for what he was about to face. But you know what? Even though he seemed like he was afraid and terrified, he still faced the cross for you and me. He still went to the cross as our substitute. And it isn't something that he had to do. Just like David didn't have to go out and face this bear and this lion and this giant, Jesus didn't have to go to the cross for you and me, but he did so willingly. He went there. And even though he did nothing to offend our Father in heaven and his Father, he still was abandoned. God was not on Jesus' side on the cross. He left him. Jesus had nowhere to put his hope. And God did that so that you and I would never have to face that. Jesus faced the rejection and abandonment from his Father so that you and I would never have to. We know that because Jesus faced that God is always going to be by our side no matter what we face in this world. David, he understood this and he knew it very well. And that's why he wrote Psalm 23. Psalm 23, David, he writes this. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Friends, you know, David, he was willing to sacrifice his life for his future sheep, right? For the people that he was going to rule over as king. Jesus, he actually gave his life for you and me, his sheep. He gave up his entire life. And then he rose again from the dead to assure you that you and I will never have to go through what he went through. That's what Easter means for you and me. We can have courage even today, knowing that God will never abandon us or leave our side because of what Jesus went through in our place. You and I, we might find ourselves in terrifying and uncertain times, but that doesn't mean that we can't have hope, and it doesn't mean that we can't have courage. You and I, we can have the same kind of courage as David. We can put our hope in the same Lord who rescued David from the lion and the bear and the giant. So friends in Christ, put your hope in the Lord. Put your hope in the one who is abandoned to let you know and assure you that you will never be abandoned by your God. Amen.